Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are only 222 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, a holiday podcast about holiday movies. Hi, I'm your host, Joseph Wade. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
You make an interesting point. What would happen if you put a mirror under a vampire's nose?
Folks, yeah, tune in to our special pay content episode where we talk about things before the podcast. But for real, what would happen, though?
Like, you wouldn't see the vampire, but, like, do vampires breathe?
I don't know.
Can you choke a vampire?
Presumably not, no.
Can you choke a bitch?
You could always choke a bitch, Karen. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I want to start off this episode by wishing everyone a happy National Sea Monkeys Day.
Yay.
So can we go pour water on things and make them huge, like the opposite of Shrinky Dinks?
Yeah, basically. That's basically what sea monkeys are.
I never can remember what they're called, but you know the
they're
little cat
shrimp.
Exactly.
No, yeah, I know what sea monkeys are. I never can remember what the things are called, but the little like toys you get in the capsule or whatever that you put in water, it's like a foam thing and it gets like enormous.
They turn into dinosaurs. They're called dinosaur eggs.
Really?
Unless they're t-shirts.
Then they're called t-shirt eggs.
And they're just called t-shirts.
What the fuck? What kind of t-shirts are you wearing?
I don't know.
An instant wet t-shirt contest?
A one size fits all.
Does anybody remember that? You probably don't because I'm the only lady here. There was a fucking awful trend in women's fashion about 15 years ago or 15 to 20 years ago now where they made these like shirts out of this like super like weirdly like ruched material that was basically like one size fits all. So like real skinny people can wear it and it'll just be like real like ruched, like kind of puffy looking, or like fat people can wear it and it'll be like skin tight, like it stretches like, you know, like 500% basically.
So it's one size fits all, but like your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
But it was a weird trend.
No, anyway. I don't remember that. No.
Yeah, I was going to say you probably don't. Cause
it's like some shitty future shit. Like you know, we just all have the one size of clothing.
Yeah, it was like it was a weird late 90s thing.
Jeez, late 90s are fucking terrible.
I know. Late 90s, like, that's the time. That's the era. If you gave me a time machine, I would skip straight past the late 90s and go back to the early 90s.
Something about, like, basically the entire fashion sense of the late 90s could be summed up in the fucking, that Lynn video, Steal My Sunshine.
Oh, jeez. Where everything is, like just, not half size, but just half of the fabric,
right?
And also inexplicably silver.
Yeah,
everything was silver back then.
Yeah, a lot of like little like athletic chrome tank tops and like big like sweatpants and shit.
I just remember seeing a lot of rap videos and just wondering why everything was chrome.
And like no one knew if the guy and the girl in them were like, are they fucking, or are they brother and sister, or are they both?
It can be two things.
I think rappers just like shiny shit. On another tangent, I've started following Rick Ross on Snapchat.
Oh no.
That is one interesting dude.
What does Rick Ross do on Snapchat?
He fucking takes videos of all of his expensive ass shit all the time. He's got so much like shiny stuff.
Oh, so he's taking MTV Cribs to Snapchat? Is that what you're saying?
Basically,
oh my
it's just
God.
Like little like 3 or 6 second videos where he just like shows like he doesn't even say anything about it. It's either videos of like all of his like huge ridiculous jewelry or like some shiny ass shirts or like the stuff sitting around his house or like him smoking cigars and riding around in the car, and they may or may not have weed in them. I don't know. They might be blondes. No, some of them are actual like cigars though. But yeah.
Wow.
Hi.
That's incredible.
I remember the Moby episode of MTV Cribs.
Okay.
And it was in its own way one of the most like ostentatious bullshit things, because he had like a top floor Manhattan apartment
with
an attic loft skylight thing.
Christ.
And the top floor was completely empty except for a beanbag chair.
I do remember that. He lived like a very like
he's like a
monk lifestyle.
Yeah, but then you think about it, you realize he is paying so much fucking money to
like,
not use that space.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, it is very conspicuous, like it is in its own way very conspicuous consumption.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, cause, I mean, as as sort of
ascetic,
of a lifestyle that he lives, he still has to pay, you know, $60 gajillion a month for rent.
I mean, yeah. he looks like kind of a weird, like, monk person, though, with his, like, beard, bald head, and
his vegan lifestyle. And
literally, the only decoration in his apartment was a picture of Homer Simpson autographed by Matt Groening.
What?
You have to afford really? Yourself, yeah. you know, small pleasures. Otherwise, what's the point?
He did have a small shelf that had a rubber duck and a Homer Simpson, like, action figure on it, too.
Like I said.
What?
Well, this was an unexpected turn for the start of the podcast.
I feel like I've learned a lot about Moby as a person, honestly.
My favorite detail about Moby is that, like, after Eminem had that one song where he just blasts Moby for no reason, Moby went on The Daily Show, and he's like, I haven't made techno songs in, like, 10 years. What's he talking about?
Also, what about the fucking New Radicals, that song, too? You Get What You Give. Didn't they fucking name drop Moby in that, too?
I know they blasted Courtney Love Marilyn and Marilyn Manson.
Because they made a fucking tour on that. And because it rhymes, the other two are Beck and Hanson.
Yeah, oh, okay. Beck, that's the one. I read an interview with that guy recently, and he basically said, yeah, those blasts were totally unfounded. It was just because they rhymed.
Yeah.
What a dick.
He made his money off it, and then he dipped out.
Alternately, what a fucking power move. Like, seriously.
Yeah, you get their attention, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, there's really no way to get people's attention with this episode of Christmas Creeps, because I don't have a good segue for that one, to be honest.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to get out of this one. We have to talk about New Radicals for the entire rest of the show now.
Well, no, here we go.
And I'm sorry, Karen, but they only had one album, so it's going to be a short
episode.
They
only had one song. What are you talking about?
No, they have two songs. No.
They have exactly two songs.
What's the other song?
Someday We'll Know.
I don't know that one. I only know that
one. Someday You Will.
Oh, shit. Snap. No, we're talking about mean-spirited songs, and let's just move right on to a mean-spirited movie we watched tonight.
Yeah,
again.
Hyper Gremlins. Gremlins 2.
I thought you said Kremlins at first.
Kremlins.
That would be an awesome movie.
Let's watch that.
Are you kidding me?
I want to watch some fucking KGB.
A Russian remake of Gremlins, but it's all about like the ghosts of the KGB coming back to haunt them.
Holy shit.
I would watch the fuck out of that. And it has to be called Kremlins.
Yes.
Eat your Christmas borscht.
Okay, this is another movie idea we have to hold on to and make. Gotta write this shit down.
In Soviet Russia, production seizes you.
Movie makes you.
Oh, God, that'd be a good name for like a Russian version of like Maximum Overdrive. In Soviet Russia meets a production seizes you.
Dear God.
Oh, God. Hey, Soviet Russia, give us a call. We've got ideas.
I've been watching a lot of the Americans lately, too, so I'm seeing all kinds of Soviet Russia shit.
I mean, let's be honest, just wait 5 years, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
Soviet Russia 2.
It's coming back around. It is going to be in style again. You're right.
It's coming back in fashion.
Oh,
you
shit.
Think it's been what? It's been 17 years. No.
It's been more than that.
Soviet Russia 2, Electric Dancing is Forbidden.
Yes. How are they going to save the rec center? Revolution.
It's been like almost 25 years.
Yeah. And so have we.
More than that.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Like Karen said, there's really no getting into it.
We watched a mean-ass movie tonight.
We watched an angry fucking movie. Recent movie. We are celebrating once again, we fucking forgot, Red Boxing Day. We went to Red Box and got the latest Christmas movie from 2015.
Right.
A little movie called Krampus. And it's easy to get these confused, because if you go online and search for Krampus, you'll find six Krampus movies right away. Mm-hmm. All from within, like, a year or two of each other.
Specifically, if you're looking on Amazon, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you... I looked this up at home earlier. If you look on Amazon, there are, like I said, six Christmas movies, all Krampus, and the titles are all very similar and misleading.
Right.
And if my phone would cooperate, I will read them to you.
Krampus versus Predator.
Okay. So, if you're looking for Krampus, just Krampus, mm-hmm. simple-ass, boring, vanilla Krampus.
Right.
You'll find it. It's there. It's the first one. But then you'll find Krampus the Reckoning, Krampus the Christmas Devil, Night of the Krampus, Santa Krampus, and Krampus, A Christmas Horror Story.
Krampus the
Krampus
Christmas 2, Devil.
The Quickening.
Yes. Again, that sounds like some fucking...
Krampus 2, Hyper Krampus.
Cool. Krampus the Christmas Devil was my favorite title out of those. It just has a ring to it I really like. Although I was just trying to recall it in my head because I'd already forgotten it and fucked it up and misremembered it as Krampus the Christmas King.
I mean, he pretty much is.
My sweet Krampus.
And what the only thing of note here, though, is that one of these movies stars William Shatner.
Yes.
But not the one we watched tonight, oddly enough.
Mm-mm. It was the horror...
Christmas Horror Story?
Yeah, Christmas Horror
Story.
Which
I think is a Ryan Murphy joint.
It is.
No.
I was going to say, wait a second, that's a joke.
I can't lie on this show because somebody's going to believe me.
It stars William Shatner and Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Again, that would be great. That would be wonderful. And I would happily...
You would pay money.
My money to watch that.
You pay money to watch a lot of movies, though, Joe.
Stay tuned.
Let's be honest. Okay.
So yeah, Krampus. I was very adamant about selecting Krampus for this episode because not because it has anything to do with the fact that it's our 30th episode and holy shit,
happy 30,
happy 30. To us. But because
imagine how old we'd be if we actually release every 2 weeks on fucking time. 180.
We would at least qualify for Medicare with this show, or the show would. Wouldn't. But yeah, the reason I suggested it was not because it really. I mean, it's basically our podcast. The movie is why.
No, that was night before.
I would also like to just lead into this by saying that we all have very strong and very
in your case, very wrong.
Very long and very strong opinions. Very clashing opinions on this.
Get some fucking friction on here.
Yeah. Okay. So, laying the cards out on the table. When I saw this in theaters last Christmas, I definitely knew it was going to engender some kind of at least heated discussion. If it leads to fists flying, I'm okay with that, and I'm prepared.
If it leads to fists flying between me and Jonathan, that's domestic abuse. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I'm calling the fucking lake.
And I just announced my complicity.
Yes.
And I play to win, so.
I'm calling the police.
All right, well, now we know where we all stand.
Sting will just be like, just fuck for like 9 hours. You'll feel better.
Christ. Fuck Sting.
It's a Christmas
movie. Yeah, that's kind of what Sting wants.
Sting wants, Sting gets.
He's like, you guys should fuck for 9 hours. I'll help you get started.
Yeah, I guess it's true with Sting. What he does when he gets that creepy ass.
Andy Stewart, stop fighting. Just fuck for 9 hours.
Let me show you how it's done. Get over here.
But no, Krampus came out, you know, last fall. It's from Michael Dougherty, who also did the Halloween anthology movie Trick or Treat, which is great.
He's also been involved with a lot of the X-Men stuff.
Yeah, he's okay. I think on like the screenwriting and producing side, he's behind the scenes a lot.
I thought you were about to misspeak and say Michael Bay. That would have been a different movie.
That would have been That would have been a way different movie.
Yes.
Michael Dorn probably produced the one William Shatner was in.
I hope so.
I mean, if we're being honest here. We'll talk, though, for a minute. Michael Dorn just sits around at home waiting for his DS9 movie, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to get a movie?
No, he's just waiting for them to like bring the good Klingons into the new J'Abrams universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
The J'Abrams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so first things before we really discuss Krampus, let's just go ahead and say, since this is a new movie and since I actually enjoyed it and it's going to get heated, spoilers are going to fly. There's really no way to talk about Krampus without talking about like the ending for one.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen Krampus now and you feel like you might someday,
watch it.
Stop the movie. Stop the podcast right now. Go watch it. It's available. It's an hour and a half of your life that you may or may not regret, but you'll enjoy it.
You won't get it back, but you might like it.
You'll have some fucking opinions, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And
If
you like having opinions, come on back and we will discuss Krampus.
Happy Christmas.
And we're back.
A dinosaur story.
Thank you, John.
There's a half second too long pause, and I realized, oh, you actually are waiting for me this time.
You have to say it this time.
Yeah, Joe wants you to do it now.
Anyway, so Krampus. Like we mentioned before the break, we've had some very different reactions to this movie.
Right.
I still want to push the phantom button on the mixing board.
Please don't. I don't want Billy Zane in my apartment.
Is it going to make that Justice song play, Phantom? And Phantom
I don't
Part
know.
2?
It's going to do something. I mean,
that fucking club banger Phantom. That's what you call it, right?
Well, I mean, this is how the sausage gets made. We're going to hit the Phantom button and see what happens. All right, the Phantom button has been pressed.
It made another light.
That club banger on Ed Banger.
Plus 48 volts.
Whoa. I've. What is this feeling I'm feeling?
Do you feel oddly powerful? You look like you're about to take flight.
I'm about to project into the astral realm.
Lights are like shooting out of your fingertips.
What are these other buns?
Oh, hi, Cumberboot. What are you doing here? Get out of my apartment.
What the fuck?
Go make more Sherlocks.
Ugh. Get out, Cumberboot. I'm going back to human mode. Well, it's still here. I hit the button and it's okay.
Uh-oh.
The light's going out now.
It's like slowly. It's okay, we're fading.
Okay, I'm back. I feel okay.
We just faded out of the Cumberverse.
All right, and my human body is back. Oh, so Krampus.
You want to just jump right in and tell the plot real quick?
Yeah, jump right in. I want to try and get through the plot quickly so that we can talk about sort of the moving parts of this movie.
Right.
So basically, Krampus is about, you know, the big family Christmas that every Christmas movie or every family has, where Adam Scott and Toni Collette have two kids, and they're very upscale and well-to-do, and their son is younger, and he still believes in Santa Claus, and he still believes in the fact that his family should have a nice family Christmas, and no one should fight, and everything should be cool, which is a nice utopian future that we should all sort of aspire to, and John's making weird faces, and that's okay. But then, for Christmas, the mom's family comes over for Christmas dinner, and it's David Koechner and What's-Her-Face from season one of Fargo, and they're three horrible children and a baby.
Yes.
Which is the worst 3 Men and a Baby prequel ever.
Pretty much.
But, you know, their two daughters
It's two and a half girls and a baby.
Yeah. Their two daughters are just, like, super butch, and dad is clearly trying to make them into boys.
They have the names Stevie and Jordan.
Yeah. And then the son is straight up like Thurman Merman from Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't...
less personality.
Less personality, and he doesn't talk nearly as much.
He totally looks like him, though.
He does. Like, that's totally on purpose.
Yeah.
It can't not be.
Gotta be, yeah.
But the two families collide... excuse me.
There's
all the astral ghosts are gone now.
The half-man woman is there.
Yeah.
Like Dime Store Kathy Bates?
Yeah, yeah. Conchata Farrell is her name.
Yes.
It's such a weird name for such a lady that I just remember it.
For such a lady. For such a dame.
But, Toni Collette's sister, her character's sister... surprises her by bringing their aunt with them for Christmas dinner, and she's the most hateful, awful, not quite hillbilly old lady ever, but
she really is like Kathy Bates' long-lost twin.
Mm. Speaking of names, the fucking kid who's like Thurman Urban, except I hate everything about him, is named Maverick Flack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's his name they gave him in real life, like...
Okay, let's get this plot summary out of the way.
That's like a name, it's like what you would name yourself if you're trying to do, like, Top Gun cosplay.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's like a fucking name Neil Breen would give his character in his own movie.
Maverick Flak Jacket.
It sounds like the name of a cartoon rooster.
It's like Foghorn Leghorn's son.
Yeah, Maverick Flak, yeah.
Jesus.
It's the name of a country western parody artist.
Yeah, that it is.
It's all of those things. It can be four things.
Yeah, it's going to be Mike Orth Brooks.
So everybody's having Christmas dinner, and...
Everyone's super hateful.
Everyone's super hateful.
Except for Max.
Except for Max, who's
a little wiener kid.
He's the nicest kid ever, John. Shut up. But no, his two cousins steal his letter to Santa and read it out loud and realize, oh shit, Max is actually asking for Santa to fix his family.
Okay, yeah. Pause button. Is Max too old to realistically be all up on Santa's dick?
I think he's on the cusp. He's like either at that age or maybe slightly beyond.
He looks like he's probably about 8 or 9.
He's younger than the kid in Merry Friggin' Christmas, though, right?
No, he's older.
He's older, I mean.
He's older.
Yeah, older, yeah.
He looks like he's probably about 8 or 9, and having a niece that's 8 and her younger siblings, I feel like they probably still believe in Santa. My 11-year-old nephew might still believe in Santa.
I mean, I will freely admit that I did until, like, a little longer than I should have.
Right.
So it's, I kind of give him a pass because, like, and yeah. when kids are, like, as nice as the kid in this movie as you kind of just want him to.
Right. You know? I mean, as a kid who was, like, pretty hip to the Santa game, like, super early mm-hmm. and just played along with it for my parents' sake, I play along with it with the kids, too. You know, yeah. I totally pretend Santa's real.
And I think we've gone over this on an earlier episode where... Yeah, we all talked about when we found out.
Yeah, this was when Brad was around. This American right. Christmas when we talked about this.
It was. It yeah. actually was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Brad. We miss you.
Brad doesn't listen.
No, nobody listens anymore. If you do, we love you.
Yes.
But they, you know, they steal his letter to Santa and read it out loud, and he throws a huge fit about it, and they fight.
Yeah.
And he winds up tearing his letter to Santa up and throwing it out.
Lock window. Him in the attic, and he doesn't get any more pizza.
Right.
Yep. And then he has to sleep with Fuller. But then his letter, you know, blows to the four winds, and everybody sort of forgets that that ever happened. And then Krampus shows up.
Right.
And then who is Krampus? Well, Grandma has a story to tell about that.
Yes. Grandma is German or perhaps Austrian.
Mm-hmm. Sort of Eastern Central European. I mean, the gist of it was in the 30s or 40s, and her European village had nothing. And everybody was super hateful and forgot the spirit of Christmas. So
right.
instead of asking Santa for anything, she threw her little Santa doll on the fire and decided she didn't believe in Santa anymore.
This movie really heavily, like, conflates Santa and the spirit of Christmas to be the exact same thing.
Also, I just wanted to ask a real quick question, talking okay. about the story from Grandma's past, because yes. we're assuming basically that the reason that no one believes in Santa anymore is because Nazis. Because she's about the right age for that.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't never come out and say it.
Right, but it's just kind of like assumed that that's probably why things are so shitty
right,
where
like
she lives.
The war has destroyed her village, and everybody has...
But she's standing in a bread line in the flashback. Was yeah. that like a thing
that was
in World War II?
No, that was a Weimar Republic thing. That was like between wars.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So probably either leading up to or before.
That would have been, okay. like, that would have been like the 20s.
All right, because okay. when I think of breadlines, I think of, like, Eastern Bloc countries. Like,
I think of, like, Great Depression America breadlines.
I think
but
of
I
like,
realize that's not
I think of, like, the Soviet Union, so okay, yeah. I don't know.
I think this movie's just being really lazy with this history is a big thing.
A little.
It's being very broad. It's very broad and generic.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I was just curious. Like, I wasn't sure if I was totally off base or not.
Well, no, that's fine. It's fun to sort of poke at those details because yeah. I think it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, she... Her story hinges around the fact that she sort of gave up on Santa and Christmas. And then when Krampus shows up, he comes to take her family and leaves her as a quote-unquote reminder of what happens when this...
He leaves her a little trinket that says greetings from Krampus on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he doesn't take her away.
Right. Which I kind of took to be sort of a metaphor for the Nazis taking people away.
Yeah.
And so that kind of makes this movie... Oh, I mean, that... In a nutshell, that makes Krampus sort of a movie about survivor's guilt, which I think is interesting,
yeah.
but the movie doesn't really ever go there.
The movie is not clever enough to do anything with that.
It doesn't do anything with it. I wish it could have, and I wish it had, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, so basically, Krampus comes to terrorize this family.
Yeah, like, there's a really bad storm outside, knocks all the power out.
Right.
The neighborhood's basically deserted.
Yeah, the daughter goes out because she's like, I got some boyfriend fucking to do, so I'll be back.
Yeah.
And she gets attacked by some monster, and we don't see anything.
Yeah, we never see her again.
Yeah, she disappears.
Yeah, like a jack-in-the-box attacks her, basically, is what
yeah.
happens.
Mm-hmm. It eats her.
Yeah, and then... Who goes outside next?
Then
the dads.
The two dads, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Scott and David Koechner. It's Howard, and I forget the other... Is it Tom, maybe?
Maybe.
I can't remember his name.
I didn't even remember Howard, to be honest.
I remember Howard because the fucking kid I hate is Howie Jr.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, they go out to hunt for the daughter. Beth is her name?
Yes.
Okay. And a monster tries to eat
Tom.
Howard. Tom? Okay.
Yeah, and they get David Koechner is like some like super hardcore redneck type dude. He drives a huge like SUV mm-hmm. with like an arsenal in the back of it. So they get a couple guns out.
Yeah.
And they come back and like Koechner has like Howard's leg is all bandaged up.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a little bit out of commission the rest of the movie.
Yeah, basically he gets attacked by one of those things from Tremors.
Yeah, because it's all under the snow. You never see a damn thing about it.
Yeah. And then the middle part of the movie is just the family gets attacked by different different helpers.
Yeah, it's like a giant Jack in the Box eats one of the cousin girls. Howie Jr. gets sucked up the chimney by a gingerbread man with a chain hook.
Yeah, they basically bait him with a gingerbread man.
Which I'll get more into that scene later because that scene fucking pissed me off.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about all that shit.
We'll get there.
And then
Howard is attacked by other gingerbread men.
And the dog, he shoots a couple and the dog eats one. Yeah, and then they all go up in the attic and there's a big fight. And the
gigantic Jack in the Box, is there. And then, an angel from hell.
Yeah.
And the fucking bear and a robot and shit.
A stabby robot. Just, all of the things that you would associate with Christmas are turned evil and then are given angry teeth.
It's like if fucking Puppet Master or Doll Master was running around this movie, basically.
Kind of.
Yeah, because they're all big, puppets.
Yeah, and then they go back downstairs and, Krampus's, elves show up and take Howard, the Aunt Dorothy, and the baby away.
Yeah.
The rest of them make a run for the snowplow and get picked off basically one by one by the Tremors, except for...
Meanwhile, Krampus stays behind to deal with Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grandma stands her ground.
Yeah, strike that reverse. That Grandma stays behind to deal with Krampus.
Yeah, she fucking just stands there and waits for him and he takes her.
And then at the
end of it, it's Max and his cousin are the only ones left. The one cousin who didn't get eaten yet.
And then she gets taken.
Krampus opens a big pit to hell and he throws both of them in. He wakes up and it was all a dream. And he goes downstairs.
And everyone has a lovely Christmas morning. And then Max opens up his Christmas present, and what's inside?
Is that same little trinket, the greens from Krampus.
From Krampus.
And they all,
And then he shakes it, and he can't hear the bell. And he's like, and then Tom Hanks is like, and then I couldn't remember Christmas.
Right. No, the opposite happened. Everyone remembered Christmas.
They all remember what happened the night before, and they're like, oh, I guess that really happened. It wasn't just a freaky shared dream that we're not talking about.
And then the camera pans out.
And then the end of this movie is kind of incredible because it's about to send John into a massive freak out. The camera zooms out. Everybody's like, wait a minute. All this shit actually happened. We remember all this stuff.
Right.
And the camera zooms out of the house and then out of the neighborhood and you see their house is in a little snow globe and Krampus is putting the house on a shelf with all the other houses with inside snow globes.
Right. He's in this creepy root cellar looking place shelves.
And then you discover that Krampus is Tommy Westfall.
Basically, yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
So
fuck that ending.
So wait, does that make this movie canon for everything in the Westfall verse then?
I think so, but this movie is so isolated. Shit. I don't know how you would ever connect it with anything else.
God,
no, it's Robot Chicken.
That's right.
Max watches Robot Chicken because there's Robot Chicken posters in his bedroom.
Yes, and Seth Green is actually in this movie.
Yes, and Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that's right. But not in any capacity where you recognize them. They voice a couple.
Yeah, they voice characters. So
yeah.
This just opened up the Winslow verse.
The actual verse.
The Westfall verse.
Yeah, the one that's a real thing.
I'm just waiting for the episode of SVU where Munch and Finn come and just beat the shit out of Krampus.
I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, anything to get Richard Belzer into a Christmas episode.
So here's where the contention starts.
Fuck this movie.
Okay, John, what do you hate about this ending? Because I know you hate it.
The movie doesn't deserve this fucking ending at all.
He hates the whole movie.
Okay. Yeah, I do. This movie is way more mean-spirited and way less clever than it thinks it is on both counts. It thinks it's being clever and a little bit mean-spirited. It's not being that clever and it's being a lot mean-spirited. The whole scene let's talk about the scene with the kid going up the chimney with the fat kid.
Okay, yeah.
Augustus Gloop.
Yeah.
What happens is they're all asleep in by the fireplace because, there's nowhere the house, the power and the heat's out.
Yeah.
And then a hook comes down the chimney with a gingerbread man and he's like, oh, hi, I'm a little gingerbread man.
Yeah, they shake it to try and catch it.
Yeah. The fat kid wakes up first and he goes over and takes a bite out of it and it screams at him and, runs in a circle, wraps a chain around him. And the kid just stands there and waits for it to fucking happen, I guess.
Well, also, he's flabbergasted that the thing that he just tried to eat is now trying to kill him.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean,
it comes to life like the Shrek gingerbread man.
Yeah.
You know.
And the chain starts dragging the kid up the chimney and, the entire family is, pulling at these kids' legs. And it's, a fucking, 3 or 4 minute scene. And it's, it doesn't belong in this movie.
I get what you're saying because it starts out playing it kind of as a joke and then it turns into an actual horror scene.
Yeah,
then lingers on it.
Yeah, if it was just the kid gets sucked up, whoop, and then we're like, where the fuck did the fat kid go? That would have been more fitting for what we think what this movie is trying to do. Instead, it goes into this whole suspenseful music, fucking 3 or 4 minute long scene, and then there's a fucking fire for some goddamn reason.
Mm-hmm. Like one of the logs falls out of the fireplace and woof.
And then of all things, the scene ends with David Cage looking at the chimney and the kid's shoe falls and hits him in the face. And he's just like, son of a bitch. That scene doesn't... this movie is trying to be a horror comedy and like, no, you're just being like a... like a mean-spirited horror movie.
And
like
this is... okay, yeah. And this is where we have different opinions. Because
here's the thing. I totally see what John is saying, and I get why that bothers him.
No, I do too.
And I just... personally, I feel like this movie shouldn't have tried to do the comedy thing. It should have just been like a straight up horror movie.
Yeah,
yeah, but it straddles the line so much too. It should have been one or the other. And you're of the opinion it should have been more of a horror movie.
Yeah,
and I'm of the opinion it should have been more of a comedy movie.
Where am I? And I kind of like how it did it.
Okay, so we run the entire spectrum here.
Yeah, and because, you know, you're like, it's super mean-spirited, and I feel like they kind of did that on purpose and sort of flipped the script on you on purpose to fuck with you a little
bit. Because they set up this kid and this family as just being the worst, and like, yeah, you fucking hate this kid.
Right.
But then, like, no, you shouldn't, because he's a kid and he's gonna fucking die.
Right, you feel bad, because they all,
you
like,
feel
start
bad. Yeah,
working together, and... you realize you don't really want his family to die. You just want them to be better people.
No, I didn't want them to die. It's just I want them to die in funnier ways.
Well,
that's better.
But see, and then so it does this. It does this thing where it does like a little, like it gives you like a little taste of comedy, and then it just goes like full drama with shit, or it goes like the other way around. Like it gives you a taste of like some fucking like drama action movie shit, and then it just like doesn't work.
It like it scares the pants off you right away, and then like no backs off, joke,
right? And
which
like
it doesn't really do here.
When the Aunt Dorothy gets taken away, like she just gets fucking like whipped out the window real fast, and there's like a slide whistle,
right? And it's like set up.
And if not for the like the 5 minutes of buildup of horror before that, it would have been funny,
right? But they build it up as a really terrifying moment, and they really lean into it and play up, and then she wrap her up and then pull her out the window, and it's just like like
it's
a fucking cartoon.
But it's like literally the opposite of what happened with the little boy,
right?
Like it's the exact opposite. That's why I think they did this shit on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not.
They knew what they were doing.
I'm not saying they failed in what they were doing. I'm saying
they shouldn't have done it that way.
I'm saying their goals, why they achieved them, were fucking misguided.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, that's not really, you know, that's a fair opinion, and that's just how you feel about it. Like, and my personal feeling is I kind of like that they did that, because it's so weird and unexpected.
Mm-hmm. And the movie starts out, like, very tongue-in-cheek, but too.
To an extent, like, you doing something that's unexpected doesn't mean you're doing something good. It's like, there's a reason you don't do shit certain ways, is because no one fucking wants that, you know?
No, I
don't know.
I mean, sometimes you just gotta fuck around with stuff and see what sticks.
Well, and I get that. And I also, one of my problems I do have with the movie is that it does sort of flip-flop, like, 10 times like that during the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it'll play something for comedy and then go, nope, it's actually a horror moment, or then play a horror scene for comedy and, like, subvert expectations back and forth. So you don't really ever know what you're supposed to expect.
Right.
Which kind of does make it very schizophrenic. Like, you don't know what you're supposed to feel for this movie.
Well, then that's, like, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to talk about, was it kind of, honestly, it caused like a really visceral reaction. Like my stomach was just kind of in knots like the whole time watching the movie because of that. And I think that that's like kind of important and shit like
that. Fucking Jack in the Box pissed me off too, because no one shot the fucking Jack in the Box. Like someone almost kills the Jack in the Box like 30 times in the movie, and it still fucking survives. And
like they totally failed at that.
Like you're not allowed to do that movie. This is a movie. You kill the fucking Jack in the Box and then bring in more monsters.
But then the movie rubs it in your face at the end, because like Krampus and all of his like elves and helpers are like having a fucking like Christmas party of their own, and they're like, the Jack in the Box is just luxuriating in all the fucking Krampusy shit.
Yeah.
And the movie's like, fuck you, he's still alive.
Yeah, no, it's like a fucking Michael Haneke movie, and I fucking hate Michael Haneke movies.
Well, I don't know who that is, but
he did Cachet and he did Funny Games
twice.
I don't know those movies.
Do we want to get into fucking Funny Games?
Let's talk a little bit about Funny Games.
Okay.
Okay, Funny Games is a movie where like it starts out with this nice calm, pretty family. It's like Clive Owen and Naomi Watts in the remake, well, I think.
Yeah, in the remake, yeah.
But, and like these two kids who's like, oh, we're from next door, blah, blah, blah. They're like dressed the same in like this weird little like rich kid asshole summer outfit. Like,
yeah.
Like we're going to go play like some rich people sport.
So it's like the kids from The Shining?
No. They're going to play some like rich people sport. Yeah, we're
going to go play squash or something.
Yeah, they're wearing like white sweaters and like white shorts and white like loafers and shit. Oh,
they're wearing like fucking tennis outfits.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, tennis outfits except even more ostentatious. Like,
actually, I think it's they're golfing because they have golf clubs.
Okay. Yeah, and they just like start terrorizing the fuck out of this family. Yeah. And then close to the end of the movie, what happens is like Clive Owen finally gets the upper hand and kills one of the kids with a shotgun. The other kid, I think this happens in both versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally grabs a TV remote and rewinds the movie 10 minutes and steals the shotgun before Clive Owen gets it.
Yeah, he like looks into the camera and says like, "You didn't think it was gonna be that easy, did you?" And then he just fucks the whole thing up.
Oh, but that's like so. That's like breaking the fourth wall. That's totally different.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's like the movie is not. It's like you're not being that clever, and it's like, yo, movie, like just straight up. This is real talk right now. I'm not joking anymore. Real life is fucking bad enough. You don't like. I don't need a movie to be shitty as real life. Like,
well, and.
And now you know how I feel when I watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And okay, we kind of started to hash this out before we recorded the episode, and then we're like, wait, let's hold on to this. And part of my feeling, too, is that they kind of make it like super mean and awful on purpose just because of probably how fucking disillusioned they are with Christmas.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because at the beginning, like, we didn't go into a lot of detail about it, but at the beginning, there's, like, scenes of, like, people just getting into fucking fist fights at this, like, shopping mall, and...
It's a very bad Santa-esque beginning.
It's guards, like, happily tasing dudes, and...
It's like the opening scene of Zombieland, but it's about, like, midnight on Christmas Eve.
Right, it's, like, seriously rush. Some fucking, like, was it Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
In the mall or whatever?
Dawn of the Dead.
I haven't seen like any zombie movies, but I know that that's like a metaphor for, you know, like consumerism. Okay, so
here's a question that just came to mind. Think about Bad Santa.
Mm-hmm.
What if Bad Santa ended right after Willie falls down getting shot?
Like if he had actually died right then and there?
No, you don't even know. The credits just fucking roll right there after he gets shot, the fucking falls down. Yeah.
So you just don't know?
Yeah.
It's the lady or the tiger.
I mean, you still kind of know because, like, you know he at least died trying to do at least one nice thing for somebody.
Yeah, but the movie just becomes a big fucking middle finger, though. The movie's just a big fuck you.
I mean, some movies are like that.
I don't know. If Bad Santa did that, it wouldn't be as much of a fuck you as it is just like, I'm a senior in a third level writing class. Look at how clever I am.
Exactly. It would have sucked is what we're both getting at here.
I feel like if Bad Santa had done that, it would have made it a more sincere movie. Like, it would have given it a little more sincerity. Like, it would have been, like, depressing.
Let's be honest. It would have gotten an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, but with the way...
It wouldn't have been a better movie, though.
No, it wouldn't.
Right, but with it the way it is, it kept it, like, firmly in comedy territory.
It wouldn't have ended with Shit Happens When You Party Naked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still.
Yeah, but the thing is, the movie would have fucking, like... pissed me off if that happened. Like
it would have gone too far into like sincerious territory, basically.
Yeah, it's like I said, like, no, I don't need depressing shit in my fucking movies. Like, real life is fucking depressing enough, trust me.
Yeah, but some people are into that.
Those people are called fucking assholes.
That's a totally valid like point of view.
Hi John.
No, it's not a valid it is a point of view that exists. It is an extant point of view. It's not a valid one. It's a bad one.
We're gonna be fighting for a while.
Like, okay, let's get into the ending of this. What I was talking about with the movie doesn't deserve this ending. This ending is totally like this. This is a very shitty comparison. It's the first thing that comes to mind. It's the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode where it takes place inside the mall that's really a pinball machine.
Oh, shit, yeah. Okay.
And the way it ends is the kid beats level one, and then the evil mastermind is like, and now it's time for level two. That's the twist ending. Yeah. The kid won, but he didn't really.
Pinball machines only have one level.
Well, yeah, but still.
Have you seen this episode?
No.
Okay, what? Like, you get what my point is, though. Because the way this movie actually ends is Max is like, I'm sorry, Krampus, I'm sorry. And then he gets thrown in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If he had, like, blown Krampus the fuck up and, like, killed himself in the process and woke up and like, oh, it's all a dream, but I won. But I didn't. It would have deserved the ending then. But it didn't fucking deserve the ending.
Well, okay, let me actually, like, describe the whole ending, because you kind of went through it really generally again, and I feel like it's important to, like...
Yeah, we need to set this up.
Okay, so what happens is the Krampus gives the kid the little, like, trinket thing, like, the little ornament or whatever.
Right.
And he's super upset. And they have, like, his cousin Jordan, I think. They're, like, this big, no, like,
that's,
fucking...
That one's Stevie for whatever that's worth.
Oh, it's Stevie. Okay. This big fucking, like, chasm opens up in the ground. And there's, like, a, you know, like, a fire or whatever inside.
Yes.
And... Well, the reason that happens is because he gets fucking angry and throws the trinket back in Krampus and tells him, you know, basically tells him to fucking go pound sand.
Threatens to, like, hit him with a tire iron.
Yeah. Yeah, and he gets, like, some kind of weapon. Like, I thought he was going to, like, stab him with it. And he goes up and, like, marches up and is going to fucking face Krampus, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no, we have your cousin here. We're going to throw her in. You better not do that shit. And so he gets really upset and tells him to just please give his family back and please forgive him and I'm so sorry. So what happens is they throw his cousin in anyway, and he, like, and then, because you think Krampus is going to, like, change his mind. He doesn't. Throws his cousin in, then throws Max in, and then Max wakes up, and it was all a dream. And that's when I was like, oh, I called it. I was like, he was dreaming the whole time. I was super excited.
It's a direct reference to that scene in Home Alone where Kevin asks for that fake Santa for his family back, and then the fake Santa gives him Tic Tacs.
Yes.
Except it's the exact opposite.
Right. Right. And so then he gets up and it's Christmas morning. Everyone's happy. And then the whole deal happens where they all have the memory.
Right.
But so, yeah, it does this thing where it's like at first, you know, it's like going to be the heroic ending. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, no, this is going to be shitty.
It's the bad. Yeah, it's going to be the heroic ending. Oh, now it's the bad ending.
Right. And then it's like, oh, it's like the warm, fuzzy, happy ending. Like
the Christmas Carol ending.
And yeah. And then it's like, oh, no, just kidding. You know, it's the like fucking mind fuck ending.
Basically. Yeah, and that sucks. Like, that pacing sucks.
The pacing does suck because the movie's been doing this the whole time, like flipping around what you want versus what you expect, and then just doing it.
Yeah,
again.
And it's mm-hmm. like movie. You're not being like I get what you're doing, movie, and you're not being like clever or good when you do that.
And also, I will say the movie does not do anything to like set up or foreshadow any of this stuff.
No, not at all.
Yeah, like, not even like the twist ending. You know. Snow globe thing.
Yeah, like, that's no, true. What it should have ended with was he ended up fighting Krampus and somehow won, but in, like, a way that, like, was totally, like, sacrificial. Like a
Pyrrhic victory
like,
kind of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. He grabbed Krampus and jumped into the pit holding on Krampus.
And that's kind of what I thought was going to happen
at
first.
That's what should have happened. Right. Yeah.
He was going to fight him and, like, lose his life, but his family was all going to come back.
No, like, yeah, no, he should have, like, fought Krampus in, a Pyrrhic victory, a totally sacrificial way, and he wakes up and is like, it's all a dream, but I won. It's like, nope, you didn't win. You can't have this. Shit sucks. No, he doesn't. Nah, it does. Like, you can't do that.
But the reason that I like that is because of the fact that I was like, oh, I called this. It's totally going to happen the way I thought it was, and then it didn't. Right. Because I get kind of sick of, like, movies being that predictable, honestly.
That doesn't make it, just because it's, like, unpredictable doesn't necessarily make it good, though. It's like,
I think we just feel differently about it.
Yeah, probably. But what I'm saying is, like, yeah, it does. It messes with your expectations. But I'm like, no, you didn't do anything funny, though. You just
it didn't earn it. It does it, and yeah. It's cool that it does it, but it doesn't quite earn it.
It's not a fantastically great movie. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's like a really good movie. I liked it. I was, like, totally fucking mm-hmm. entertained, and it made me feel kind of sick to watch, to be honest.
And maybe this is just me being the host of this podcast, but, like, for our purposes, like, I watched this in the theater, and I was like, oh, this is going to be wonderful.
Yes, because there's going to be blood in our house tonight. Yeah. Like, this shit's going to be like Thunderdome.
But I did actually, like, appreciate the fact that, like, this movie does take to heart a lot of the sort of the tropes of Christmas in Christmas movies and the references to other Christmas movies and things, because, like, their house is very similar to the one in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Scene transitions are very similar to the ones in Christmas Vacation with, like, the advent calendar and stuff. Yeah. The fucking snowmen that, like, congregate outside their house look like the snowman in that Campbell's Soup commercial.
Yeah, they keep playing Carol of the Bells, which, like, Home Alone 1 used that song so heavily. Like there's – or no, it was Home Alone 2. Both of them, I think.
They also
use that song so heavily, like, there's no way you can't, like, remember that.
They also did
that.
Silent Night and a also, lot, like, for what that's worth.
Yeah, and also, like, real talk, Trans-Siberian Orchestra pretty much ruined Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
So, in 2015, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, I just like that it sort of, I don't want to say respects, because...
It pays homage.
It pays homage, or it references so many other Christmas movies, and it's just... Kind of like The Night Before, where I just appreciate the fact that they even put the effort in to do it. Because they could have easily just not, and the movie would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
But the fact that they did sort of, it sort of builds sort of this little world of like the Christmas movie cosmos is like right here in this tiny snow globe.
Right.
And that's what I feel like this movie is like a little is basically a snow globe. And
what I've learned is the important thing for a Christmas movie to have is to have good references to Home Alone in it.
Pretty much, like my dad has this theory that your movie is not a good is not a quote unquote good movie unless it references The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
And
interesting.
I will bring up various movies to try and test him on this. Like, oh, what about Star Wars? And he'll always find like one little thing to be like, nope, that's a reference to Wizard of Oz. Try again.
The fuck.
he knows like, this shit.
He's like, no, Darth Vader's reference to Wizard of Oz.
What about Citizen Kane? And he's like, it doesn't count.
So your dad's like playing Calvin Ball.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like that Calvin Ball.
Like, well, and then you know, like a real piece of shit will come along and it'll have like a I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And I'm like, Dad, what about this?
I'm just imagining your dad is like, you talk, well, like, something like your dad's like, I said movies, not shit.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how it is.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. So, yeah, but I feel like they probably did what they intended to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Just evoking strong-ass reactions from people.
It's not a heavily layered movie, and it's not a very subtle movie at all.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But I feel like it's effective in what it does. And sure, maybe it leans too hard in one direction over the other. But
yeah.
I still have a good time with this. Even a second time, because like I know where the beats are, and I can sort of appreciate other parts of it.
And that's why I appreciate this movie, is because it, you know...
But then John, as soon as the movie ended, or even before the movie ended, John brought up an interesting point that I want to discuss. That
just remind me what this interesting point was, because I don't remember.
I'm going to say it. Yeah. Which is that apparently the Krampus in this movie is nothing like
the actual Legend of Krampus. All, no.
So could you sort of go into that a little bit for us? Because I don't know a whole lot about
this
Krampus.
Is like some pure like pagan Alpine shit.
Yeah.
The Krampus at first was basically like, you know, oh, be good, children, or Krampus will come and take you away in his magic bag or whatever. And then it turned into, like, Krampus was one of St. Nicholas's friends, and, like, if you were good, St. Nicholas would come and give you presents or whatever, and if you're bad, Krampus would come and either, like, give you a stick or hit you with the stick or just take all your presents.
Or he'll do all three.
That's where the thing of, like, if you're bad, Santa will leave you, like, either coal or a switch, and when I was a kid, I didn't know what a switch was.
Yeah, no, it's Krampus. Krampus leaves that, and...
Because when you're 5 years old and you hear Santa will leave you a switch, you think
like a light switch,
wall socket outlet, and you're like, what? Why is that bad?
As a child from like a
I mean, I know I don't want one, but
just go to Lowe's Hardware and get yourself a light socket. Yeah. I knew what switches were when I was little because my family's like weirdly old fashioned.
Oh, one more thing about Krampus, it actually really bums me out that the Krampus like character. His face is just like a mask of an old man, like screaming.
It's like the Scream mask, except it's like
old and has grown hair.
It's like it's like a freaky like Santa Claus and like Scream mask had a baby.
I realized this movie was very like was done kind of on the cheap, and they had they couldn't do like a lot of CGI stuff, but like they couldn't have done a little bit more with the mask.
Honestly, that mask kind of creeped me out. Like, well, like hardcore.
With like the CGI tongue like sticking out of it and stuff. No, that was bad. But like. When you got a good hard look at the mask, like, the mouth never moved, and it was just, like...
Well, that's what freaked me out about it. Like, the fucking just, like, face, like, it's a mask, obviously, but just, like, frozen and, like, that freaky-ass expression.
But, like, it's totally a mask. Like, there's the guy's actual face is behind that, too. Like, because you see, like, the open mouth, and you see more, like, mouth behind it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't catch that part. I didn't...
Yeah, because like, then you see, like, the weird, like, frozen eyelids and eye sockets, and you see the actual eye. Like, guy's wearing, like, black paint, but you're still meant to see his eyes behind it. Like, it's like basically, like, Krampus is wearing, like, a fucking skin mask or something like that.
Yeah, masks kind of creep me out anyway, though, so I think that was effective for people like me.
But here's the question. Where the fuck did Krampus come from in the last, like, 5 or 10 years that people suddenly give a shit about Krampus again?
That is a good question.
Hipsters.
I really want to say it's some hipster bullshit, yeah.
It is. And I feel like that kind of ties into the rest of the movie because, like, just the existence of the movie to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, like Karen was saying, this movie definitely seems to have, like, a chip on its shoulder about Christmas.
Yeah, it does.
And it is playing into, like, the whole, like, pop cultural Krampus thing super hard.
I mean, I can appreciate some fucking heavy-handed, unapologetic, like, cynicism. I'm not going to lie. But, like, if they want to fucking dish it out.
The way John has explained Krampus to us, like, it really does feel like they sort of took the Wikipedia version of Krampus and just made him more like the devil, and also said, okay, let's just make him bad Santa.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you go to, like, to Salzburg or somewhere, like, where they still do the Krampus shit,
yeah.
Basically what happens is there's a bunch of, like, mid-20s, late-teens guys dressing up in, like, goat man costumes, running around, like, chasing girls around and smacking them on the ass with a switch. It's literally just an excuse for ass play in public.
Mm.
Like, Krampus, like, it, yeah, it's...
I wonder if the Krampus in this movie was informed by, like the Binding of Isaac. Because that Krampus is very, like, satanic.
I don't know. I don't... You know, Karen, you know more about the Binding of Isaac
than
probably
fucking know about the Binding of Isaac.
Anybody on the planet. So, you're the authority here.
Well, yeah, I mean, just kind of the aesthetic of it and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a monster. He's like a winged monster with mm-hmm. With hooves, and he spits blood.
Yeah.
So he's the devil?
I mean, the whole game is... the reason I say that is because the whole game's aesthetic is very, like, biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like, heaven and hell shit going on. And then Krampus is thrown in there. Like, there's no, like, Santa Claus mythology in it. But there's Krampus, and he shows up... Just to get into the game mechanic a little bit, there's this room called the Devil Room that shows up sometimes when you beat a floor, like a floor level. And sometimes instead of a Devil Room, there will be a room where you have to fight Krampus. And it's like the Devil Room. So it kind of equates him. I'm sorry, I'm like nerding out hard.
No,
here.
That's totally fine.
It kind of equates him with the devil in that sense. I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but that's just kind of a thought I had.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, Krampus is totally pagan as hell, like, and even when you get into traditions, like, he's just one of the guys who runs around with St. Nicholas and just, I don't really want to say even punishes bad, especially once the legend kind of, because before he was totally was like, you know, be good or Krampus will take you away, and now it's just, be good or Krampus will basically give you a giant middle finger for Christmas, and that's all you get. Like, Krampus turned into basically just an asshole more than anything else. Like, almost like a Grinch or something.
He's like the real bad Santa. I made a Grinch joke with Krampus, because when it looked like it was going to be heartwarming, I said his heart grew 3 sizes that day. Yeah.
And then no. And then...
It did not. He threw that kid in a pit.
His fist grew 3 sizes so he could grab that kid.
Shit, sure did.
I had a joke and then I forgot
I'm so sorry. I was going to tell you to go on and say what you were going to say.
Yeah, someone needed to shoot that fucking Jack in the Box, though. That's all that it is.
Yeah,
that shotgun, like, went unfired. Chekhov would not be proud.
No, she shot, like, all the other monsters. But every single time someone went to attack the Jack in the Box, they had to say a fucking one-liner, and then something else happened. Mm-hmm. Like, because when the Jack in the Box went up in the attic, it spent, like, fucking 5 or 10 minutes just scrambling around trying to get into this vent, and it's a fat fucking piece of shit, so it can't.
Well, it's fat because it ate like a fat child.
Yeah, it's just like going like, I don't know how vents work at the vent.
And then once her face she's got the axe ready, and she's like, "All right, motherfucker, I'm gonna." And then something else attacks her.
Yeah.
Well, they set again. I feel like I need to describe it in more detail. They totally set that scene up too, like for her to be heroic, because she's the mom of like the shitty family, basically.
Yeah, and she like,
know? She's like the tiger mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She runs and, like. Also, I want to mention that scene, like, the fucking angel doll is just totally, like, trying to, like, lynch that one woman with the fucking Christmas lights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's, like, strangling the fuck out
of
her. Yeah, and that's, like, that's not, that's, like, no, you're not even, like, even trying for comedy anymore in this horror movie.
No,
that's,
yeah.
That's not, like, a funny, ironic death at all.
But we've already established that. But anyway, so the mom, you know, gets, like, the second wind to her, like, she's grappling with something, and she... Find like she gets a hold of an axe and just like goes and starts like fucking bad, you know, badassedly like killing like all these things, and you know she cuts the Christmas lights that have her sister strung up, and you know so she gets away and everything, and then she gets like she chops through everything in the attic and gets to the Jack in the Box and says
stops in one liners and then misses because the thing gets to the attic.
Yeah, it gets out and gets away from.
I would have been satisfied if they just managed to hit it and cut its fucking tail off and it just ran into the
cut the box off.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, like. It needed to have some sort of like comeuppance to it, is what happened. It's like this. What's like what bugged me about Gremlins? How Judge Reinhold's character didn't get like at all fucking like even like tormented
any comeuppance at all.
Yeah,
I forgot that he was in that movie.
And if Gremlins had been made like in the 2010s, he totally would have, because like you don't get away with that shit anymore. You don't get away with like a hitting on Phoebe Cates anymore because Kevin Klein will fuck your shit up.
But yeah, and then later when like they send the dog into like the vents, and the dog somehow gets up into the attic through the vents. Like,
yeah, the dog has like a big action scene that we do not see.
Yeah, and then the...
And it's a bulldog, so that would have been super funny.
Yeah, and the jack-in-the-box, awesome. Like, falls through the ceiling, and then they get the shotgun. And again, like, the Dorothy picks up the shotgun, and again says a fucking one-liner about shooting the thing, and then doesn't shoot it.
Yeah.
Because she gets, like, attacked by the fucking elves.
Yeah, that's what happens. The elves show up, and everyone hears them, and they're like, they're here, you know, and they burst through the window.
The thing that I was expecting to happen that never happened was I was kind of expecting somebody in Howard's family to just, like, get sick of Tom's shit and just shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
Like Howard had that shotgun, and I would have blamed him because that's a terrible thing to do, but, like, I would not have been surprised if he just said, you know what, fuck this, and he just shoots Adam Scott right in the chest.
Yeah, Adam Scott...
Somebody has to, still be the asshole in the story, you know?
Yeah, Adam Scott has, like, basically two modes, in my opinion. Like, he either plays, like, super smarmy assholes or, like, genuinely, like, nice dudes you root for, and he was kind of a dick in this movie.
Yeah, he was kind of a mix.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, the nice dad who, like, really wants to be an asshole.
Yes.
Oh boy, we've really dug ourselves a hole here. Because I went into this thing very gung ho about Krampus, and I very much enjoyed it the first time, and I enjoyed it the second time. But like watching it with you guys, the cracks started to form and appear. And like I see there are problems, and I get that, and that's cool. But like there are still things I enjoy about it. And
yeah. My big thing is I can see a lot of ways to make this movie better in my eyes, and that's what really pisses me off when it just falls. If a movie just crashes and the fuck burns, then it's like who gives a shit, you know? Being bad is kind of like a one thing, but being almost good is even worse because it's frustrating when it's like you should have done this, you should have done that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm generally kind of the person where I will pick shit out of a movie. Like, I'm very nitpicky, but at the same time, I'm really forgiving about it. Like, it just kind of rolls off. I'm the kind of person that when I watch, and I watch a shit ton of TV, when I watch, like, TV and movies, I mean, I can let myself get, like, sucked into it, but at the same time, I watch it, like, kind of on a couple levels where I think about the actors as, like, the actual people that they really are.
Like the actual actors as themselves?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm weird and I think a lot about their own personal shit like going on while they're doing it, you know, like what their motivations might be or whatever, and it's kinda like a weird like sub thing that's going on. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense.
But
I guess because I know that I do that, I think that's why I tend to be a lot more forgiving with stuff because I know that I'm like totally like taking it apart in my head when I watch it,
right?
You know,
I guess for me, like every movie, it plays its own game, and I'm much more willing to like accept that than a lot of people are.
Yeah,
like a lot of people have an idea of the way a genre should be, and then like there's movies like Krampus or I'm trying to think of another good like genre subversion type movie,
Cabin in the Woods, maybe.
Yeah, Cabin in the Woods, where like it's very deliberately playing a different game, but it's still playing into certain things that you expect and want out of
Yeah, like, I mean, I know what Krampus was trying to do. I just don't think it was, like, doing it in a good way or anything like that. Okay. Like, not that it failed. It's just, like, I don't know why you're doing that because that's not appealing to me at all. Like, in comparison, like, the more I think about it, the more I kind of, like, get kind of a little annoyed at Army of Darkness because Army of Darkness plays too hard into the comedy side of the horror comedy thing.
See, no, I was kind of, I didn't know if, because it's been a long time since I've seen Army of Darkness. That's like one movie I actually have seen. And I was kind of thinking about that when we were watching this and you were getting kind of mad about the horror comedy part because I was like, you're right. That one plays a little harder on the other end, but it still plays both worlds. Like it goes into weird zany shit a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I guess where Army of Darkness veers from like this movie like this is where, you know, Army of Darkness kind of goes into comedy and then kind of never comes out.
Yeah. And this one kind of did the same thing, but it flipped it. It sort of did the other way.
It starts as a comedy and then kind of dips into horror and says, oh, I like this a whole lot more. And then it never comes out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of spends like 20 minutes wavering back and forth and just goes straight over into horror. Just
jumps straight into the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still stand by my statement that it I mean, it flip flops so much in such like fucking drastic ways that it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a straight drop, but it is a drop though. It like goes down and then spikes up a couple times back towards, but never gets up there.
I mean, it really did. Like, I had like a knot in my stomach the whole time watching it. Like, it because I. You know, I was like, oh, it fucking jerked me this way when I thought it, you know, zigged when I thought it was going to zag, and it kept doing that.
I don't know. Maybe you're right, Joe, and I'm just a fucking unwashed yokel, but, like, I don't care for movies where it's like, you know, oh, everything is shit, and everything is shit at the end still. It's like...
I don't think you're an unwashed yokel. No,
I mean, but I'm like, you know, why the fuck did I just spend an hour and a half watching the movie where the fucking, like, bad guys win and, like, they're gloating about it, you know? It's like...
Because you want it to be, like, happier escapism.
But no, I mean, I'm totally fine with like the bad guys winning too if it's the twist at the end. Like I said, if they won, it's oh no, they really did, and it's not they lost. Oh, they didn't, but no, they lost. Like that's
so you're okay with one twist, but not like three, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what those twists are.
Cause,
it's like
because yeah, Krampus does end on a twist, on a twist, on a twist.
Like,
do you feel like they were just like lazily manipulating you the whole time and you didn't appreciate it?
I don't know what to think about that question. Like, I'm trying to...
No, I'm saying, is that kind of how it is? Because that seems like... Because I could understand that if that's the case. Like, you feel like they were just fucking with you as the viewer, but they were doing it in a way that you thought was, like, super lazy.
They're very blatantly doing it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I feel about it, but then yeah, I'm a little more forgiving than...
Yeah, in a way, it's... That's what I'm saying. It's like... Look, I want to compare it to this, because this comes in at my own. You know that fucking show you watched, The Following?
Yeah, I stopped watching it because I got sick of it. I
fucking hate that show.
It's awful.
Because the thing with that show is, like, do you know that show at all, Joe?
It's the Kevin Bacon one.
Yeah.
Yeah, where, like, he's fighting against, like a death cult, basically. And it's like, every episode, the death cult wins. And it's like, they're always, like, three steps ahead. And it's like, no, you're not being fucking clever, show. It's like, I don't want to, like, you could not have Kevin Bacon in the show, like, and it would have gone the same way. It's like, I don't need a character who's, like, too fucking clever for his own show, you know? Like... I don't give a shit about this fucking cult leader, and I give a shit about Kevin Bacon because I know who Kevin Bacon is. It's like, I want to watch Kevin Bacon win at the end, even if he has to go through all this fucking tribulation. I don't want to watch him, like, basically not lose completely and then twist ending, oh, the fucking guy survived anyway, you know?
Yeah.
To pick a different sort of TV benchmark, I don't I don't understand why Ramsay is still on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like, I don't know anything about Game of Thrones other than, like, what I read in the wiki, because I kind of want to watch it, but it's, like, it's season 6 right now, and I don't want to get HBO, really, so, like, I'm going to rent the DVDs or go to...
Have you read the books?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, Ramsay is totally the character who needs to just be, like...
He keeps having such good luck, but he's the biggest asshole in the world.
Like, to me, it's like the only fitting end for him is he gets, like, locked in dungeon and dies forgotten and unwanted. Like, just, like, he doesn't even get punished or anything, like, really, like, tortured or anything. That's too fucking good for him. He just needs to be, like, died forgotten and unwanted.
Yeah, but then, like, knowing George R. R. Martin, he's going to have him just, like, fall down a random hole of his own doing and or just deny you the pleasure of seeing him getting murdered.
No, George R. R. Martin just kills everyone you like. With that, if we want to get into that series for, like, a split second,
sure.
Do they celebrate Christmas on Game of Thrones?
They celebrate Life Day.
Yes, they celebrate Life
Bullshit.
Day.
Bullshit. No, they don't. No. That would be the best. The biggest troll ever is the fact that George R.R. Martin wrote Life Day into Game of Thrones. fuck you, nerds. Now you have to acknowledge it.
This is what the long, like, winter's, you know, all
that
about.
You know that guy in the armor who you all think is the Mountain? It's Chewbacca. It's evil Chewbacca.
They talk about winter is coming. It's gone from the long summer to the long winter.
Winter must be watching that video porn.
Winter, yeah, the fucking thing with God, who was Grace Jones, wasn't it?
No, it was...
Wasn't it?
It wasn't Dionne Warwick. It was...
I swear it was Grace Jones.
That was in Pee-wee. She was in Pee-wee.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah...
Like a fucking disco lady.
Yeah, a
like,
disco lady.
A big disco name. Was it like Donna Summer? Maybe?
Was it Lumpy or Stimpy was watching that?
Yeah, something like that.
But no, one of the things that I think George R. R. Martin goes to great lengths to do, besides writing about food and sex, and sometimes at the same time, a lot, is not really having any concern for who he's killing off, like, no, either side, because the world's random and shit happens.
He's got no compunction about that.
Yeah, like, shit happens. Sometimes people you like die in bad ways, and sometimes people you hate don't, so that's just
sometimes,
that shit.
Sometimes every character in the movie falls into a fucking snow hole because of a Tremors monster.
Yeah.
And I mean, my response to that is like, yeah, I could go like the fuck outside and read the news and experience that. I'm reading this fantasy sword book for fun, you know?
Well, I mean, and then it gets to the point where like the fantasy equivalent of Donald Trump becomes king and you're like, well, motherfucker.
Yeah. I think that this is really the big...
I think my problem is I play too many video games. I'm not even joking. I'm used to stories where I fucking win because I'm the player character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just feel like this whole thing too really is like a big philosophical thing. This is really colored by how you view the world.
It really does come down to what do we want out of our entertainment and what do we want out of life.
Yeah, exactly. I've come
to terms with the fact that life is shitty and everything about it is shitty, so I want my entertainment to be fun.
Yeah, okay. And sometimes you come to terms that life is shitty and everything about it is shitty, and so...
So why isn't the entertainment shitty, too?
Well, no, it's okay that sometimes entertainment's shitty, too, because that's just that's life, you know? Sometimes stuff is escapism, like, pure and simple, and sometimes it's shitty.
And the guys who wrote Krampus have come around to the idea that Christmas is shitty and... You know, midnight shopping is terrible and families are awful and we need to take an axe to its face.
You know, the two kids are like fighting in the nativity scene or whatever and like all the parents are standing around filming it with their phones.
Yeah. I mean, if Krampus hadn't shown up, Max would have probably been like a YouTube star by now.
Exactly. He would have been on like fucking World Star Hip Hop.
Wait, what?
You know the fucking channel?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's a YouTube channel.
No, World Star Hip Hop is a site, and like basically any fight video you want to watch, if it doesn't end up on Break, it's World Star Hip Hop.
Let me
put it this way: Break is World Star Hip Hop for white people. Is the easiest way to put it.
I see.
Yeah.
Because white people don't know how to spell. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's because World Star Hip Hop started off as like an actual like hip hop related site, and just turned into basically like. Viral video repository, and Break is the site you go to for all of the fucking like redneck fights and like fucking the people fucking dying in industrial accidents and shit like that.
Boy fights. I got you.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that the disagreement here comes down to like a general like philosophy.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
you know, and that's fine. You know. I mean, I kind of went into this thinking that.
Like, I either want my movies to, like, be, like, have happy endings or just be completely fucking absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, No Country for Old Men, despite the fact that, like, the bad guy wins in that, the fact that it's just so fucking absurd just sits really well with me.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he gets in a fucking car accident for no damn reason other than just shit happens.
Yeah.
I like that, like, random fucking weird element of it.
Yeah, and it's not like you even have to, like, put yourself in a box. It's just sometimes, like, a certain director or whoever will push your buttons just right with something, you know? Mm-hmm. And this one didn't for you. So
maybe that means we should... I don't know. Come closer to the holiday season. Maybe we should go into Trick or Treat.
I was thinking about that when you mentioned that you had another movie for Halloween. Yeah. I was like, we should watch that.
Can I compare this to another more recent horror movie?
Sure.
Or a segment on one? VHS 2.
Okay, I've only seen the first one.
Okay, there's a segment.
Which part?
Did you see VHS 2? Did you watch it with me?
Actually? I watched it with you, and I was okay. You remember when my power cord died on my computer?
Yeah,
that's when we were watching that movie.
Oh, okay.
And I was really upset by it.
All right, so you've seen VHS, so you know kind of how VHS works. Yeah, it's basically just like here's a bunch of random shorts that don't really work as they're made into a movie other than being on YouTube, basically.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that they're bad; it's just they're shorts and they're kind of unrelated.
Yeah.
Anyway, the one I'm talking about is the one with they go into like the weird like Thai temple or whatever, you know?
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's like the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, and like the woman is like it's like the film crew is going in to film some weird like it's. I want to compare it to like Jonestown. Maybe it's like totally like a weird like cult thing and like
it's like a weird
Thailand or Vietnam or something.
Young girl sex cult.
Okay.
Yeah, and the like the filmmaker like he has his like crew with him. One of the crew is someone who's. I'm trying. It's
like his girlfriend.
His girlfriend or someone. She's pregnant or whatever. And like basically the cult totally takes over and like you know your baby's going to be our new lord. Blah 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 blah. And everything goes to shit. And then like the fucking like basically like fucking Baphomet or whatever, like explodes out of her body and run like the dude like runs away and like gets in a car wreck and is just fucking like laying on mangled on the ground. And then the goat demon comes up and just goes Papa. It's so fucking amazing. because it's just complete absurd nonsense, and that's why I love it. Mm. That's the, like, either you're gonna have a happy ending or just fucking batshit insane is what makes me happy.
It sounds like what you're saying is we really need to watch one of these other Krampus knockoffs, because there's definitely one where Krampus fights Santa Claus.
I hope so. Santa fights.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're going to have to do sometime.
Okay.
Maybe not soon. Maybe not right away.
We need like a good, little palate cleanser.
Good
from
God. I think we have talked Krampus to death.
I think so too.
So before we finish off the show, we do have the issue of Crankometers to talk about.
Okay.
Which I feel like is going to be another half hour of this show. So let's just dive right in.
Okay.
How Christmassy is Krampus?
It's pretty Christmassy.
I would almost give it a 5. Like
it's incredibly Christmassy.
It's a 4 or 5. It is just steeped in Christmassy shit.
It's like cynically Christmas. It's like, I mean, who said, did I see this like a TV show, or did someone actually say that cynics are basically just like idealists that got fucked over too much?
God, yeah, it's a quote. Yeah, I forget who said it, but yeah, so, basically a cynic is an idealist who had their rose colored glasses stomped on. Was pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like that this is like, you know, the idealist who grew up and became a cynic's like Christmas movie.
Like if Max grew up, he would make this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I this movie plays so heavily into the Christmas spirit, but it like also doesn't really say what the Christmas spirit is to an extent. And that kind of like I would give it a 4 or maybe a 3 or a 4. I wouldn't feel comfortable giving it a 5.
I'd give it a solid 4.
I'll agree with a 4.
If we don't, yeah, if we don't bump it up more.
I think that's
fair. I'm not allowed to be a 5, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I almost hate to ask the question. How good is this movie?
I mean, I can't get it a negative score because the fact that I had a fucking a strong negative reaction is still a fucking reaction. So the movie achieved that from me.
So that was kind of my point earlier, was it fucking, it gave you feels.
Yeah, I did a number on you.
You know, yeah. Like, maybe not the ones you like.
I mean, that's the thing. If this movie was just forgettable garbage, like, that's what happened to Snakes on a Plane. Like, Snakes on a Plane just happened to be forgettable garbage, which was I'm the first person to mention that movie in like 30 fucking years or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe a 2 or 3.
Mm.
Quality-wise, it's lacking at points.
It's one of those movies that I just say it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I enjoy the Christmassy aspect of it more than the actual like horror movie that's in it.
Yeah, like maybe a 1 or a 2. Like I wouldn't.
I would at least a 2.
Yeah, I would be comfortable giving it a 2.
I enjoyed the roller coaster ride because I'm a person that enjoys movies that fuck your head over.
Okay.
I don't like, that's kind of my thing. I don't like gory movies. I've not seen a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, this
stuff.
Was a PG-13 horror that's movie. Right. What the fuck?
But I like movies that just fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most gore in this movie was the gingerbread man shooting David Koechner in the leg with a nail gun.
Yeah.
And David Koechner setting the gingerbread man on fire and one of them like screaming in agony. Like as his like gingerbread guts fell out.
Pretty much. But I mean that was all like CGI, exactly, like gingerbread men. That wasn't that upsetting as far on a like a gore level for
like
a
the
person.
True grossest thing in the movie is like that weird Jack in the Box's face, like that tears away.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's
like a blade monster.
It's like fucking Night Stalker from Dota 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the weird like lower jaw that also splits open like sideways.
Which the actual like puppetry in this movie is really good.
Yeah,
all things considered.
Honestly, on an enjoyment level, I'd say like a 3 or 4 for me.
I liked it.
I want to say a 2. Like,
I mean, that's better than I thought you would say.
I want to split the difference and just say 3.
Let's just say 3 then.
Okay.
Yeah, 3, 4, 3.
Because I dig it, but like it does still have problems, and I do kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I did
on a second watch, it's honestly not as good the second time.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and on a film critic level, I guess you know you're probably bringing it down a little bit.
That's what I'm saying is like I can't give it too negative a score because I'm not just like this movie sucks and is irredeemable. Like Christmas, there was no fucking way to save Christmas Shoes. You save Christmas Shoes by not fucking making the movie.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like, but this like there are totally like for my personal enjoyment preferences, there are icy ways to save this movie, and I can't give it because it came close is why it's frustrating to me.
Yeah,
but it's, like if we gave half scores, this would be a solid 2.5.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But, I can live with
4-3. I'm happy with that. Yeah.
I think the two to one vote kind of pushes it up to a 3. So
yeah,
I'm happy with 4-3. That's fine.
Okay,
it's a TV.
So,
that's an old.
It's a TV aspect ratio.
Yeah,
4-3. It's a TV sitting sideways.
What movie are we going to rate 16:9 then? Like super Christmassy and almost twice as good as every other movie we watched.
Well, that's gonna it's gonna have to be a Die Hard. It's gonna have to be a Christmas movie that we watch on like a leap year or something.
This is a leap year.
I think
shit, you're right. It is, isn't it? Oh man, I think so it's coming soon.
I think the only movie we could give like a 16.9 to would be Christmas Vacation.
Mm. Yeah.
What about Christmas Story?
It's too nice for that. I think
it is. That was mine that I watched because my family would not have been okay with Christmas Vacation as a kid.
There's like a shitload of cursing in Christmas Story, though. Did you just watch the TV version all the time?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, my parents wouldn't probably have been okay with that either, but that's one that I used to catch like all the time.
Okay. Because TBS shows it for like three fucking days straight.
By myself. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why.
That's I want to point that out. That's an important thing about Christmas Story to understand. Like, for all the, like, the rats are fucking... Blah, 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 the kid just totally goes, son of a bitch, at one point in the movie.
Yeah, he does. He totally does.
I love that. I fucking love that movie.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
God, when are we going to watch Christmas Story 2?
We will get there. As a person who has actually watched Christmas Story 2... It's been like 4 years since I watched it, and I still don't think I'm ready to watch it again.
You don't want
to? I don't want to. I will, if I have to, because I love our listeners, but I don't want to. So, hey, listeners, if you want us to talk about Christmas Story 2 sooner rather than later, let us know. We'll let you... I don't want to say we'll let you vote, because we like picking the movies around here, but...
If you get some suggestions, we'll take them.
The power of suggestion is strong.
Yes,
I'll say that.
My next idea is I want to watch a couple of like really god awful sitcoms Christmas episodes. Mm-hmm. Like my first immediate idea was Big Bang Theory and Two Broke Girls back to back.
We're gonna need something.
You have an even worse idea than that? Let me know.
I think after this, we are gonna need something that's just like pretty straightforward and trying to be funny.
Yeah, like something that we can really just straight up trash. Yeah.
Santa Buddies.
Sure,
something
whatever.
Something we can hate watch.
Yeah, there's not enough hate watching on this show.
Because I am, like, kind of mentally...
I don't just want to be just yet another bad movie podcast,
Well,
though,
yeah, that's the thing. We do have our own perspective here, but it's fun to hate watch,
We gotta run the gamut.
So if there's... I guess that's all there is for this week of episode of Christmas Creeps.
Yeah.
So if there's anything else you want to ask us, questions or comments, you can get at us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. Go to Twitter and follow us on there. We're at Christmas Creeps. We're Christmas Creeps on Facebook. Just search Christmas Creeps and we'll come right up. You can't miss us. We're the skull with the candy cane crossbones. Finally, if you like the show, go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate us. Tell us what you like and what you don't like. Even if it's a 1-star rating, you know what? That's better than nothing.
Yep. Feedback is awesome.
Absolutely.
No matter what kind, just fucking send it our way.
And if you have any suggestions for future episodes, like we said, please send them our way because we have our big list, but we would love more. Please don't hit the button again.
Oh, I think you hit it the first time. I didn't get to.
I don't want
to
go into the torrid zone while we're finishing the episode.
I know. We're so close. We're almost done.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for this episode of Christmas Creeps. Come back in, 2 weeks. We don't want to call ourselves a every 2 week podcast. I feel like we're more a twice a month podcast because then who knows when we're going to put it out, right?
Jackpot.
Absolutely. So come back. We will see you again, hopefully before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Happy Christmas. Bye.